Well, turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 12 here today. And verse 1 through 13. And we're going to be looking at this parable here. We've been going through the parables of Jesus. And, of course, this is volume number 2. The workbooks are there in the back. And so if you need a workbook, you don't have one yet, you can grab those. And if we need more, because I only see a couple back there now, I can get those out of the office and put those out as well. So if you need one of those workbooks, if they're not on the back table, feel free to let me know and I can get one to you. But we've been going through these parables of Christ, and we've discussed a lot of these parables here. And we're going to continue in the parables today and discuss some of the things, some truths, if you will, in these parables here. Bear with me with my voice today. I don't know what it is, whether it's allergies or sinuses or both or whatever it is. Amen. But I was telling somebody yesterday, praise the Lord, the last two or three times that I've come down with something like this in my sinuses, I've already had someone scheduled to preach. Amen. And Brother Stroop drew the short straw today. So he's the one that's going to be preaching today. But I appreciate him being here. And hopefully that will save my voice. Amen. Looking forward to the lesson this morning, looking forward to Brother Stroop preaching today as well. But Matthew 25 and verse 1 through 13, notice the Bible says this: "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now notice here, we are speaking of these wise and foolish virgins here. We're talking about this bridegroom as well. And each and every one of us, hopefully as Bible-believing Baptists, we understand that our Lord is coming back. Amen. We trust that our Lord is, he made a promise. He said that he's going away, and he said that that I also may come again and receive you unto myself. Our Lord is coming back, and praise the Lord for that truth. But notice here, as we talk about these parables here, a parable is, it's not a fable. And as we discussed this, as we went through the first volume of parables, and I want to talk about this again here, it's important for us to know that parables, they are something that is to be cast alongside. That's what the word parable means. So you have a truth that you're trying to portray to someone. So what do? You give that parable, you cast that alongside of that truth. So a parable is a story that's cast alongside a spiritual truth to help us understand that truth. And as we discuss this parable here, we understand the Lord is coming again, and there are three words that's going to help us remember important things in the order of our Lord's return. We see the appearing, that is the appearing of Christ, amen. We are, and then there is the disappearing of the saints, and praise the Lord for that. We are going to meet Christ in the air, and I can't wait for that. Maybe today, amen, we're going to be with Christ. And but either way, we have a work to do until then, whether it's today or tomorrow or another week or it may be years down the road. We may pass from this earth by the grave and we'll be with Christ then. But either way, we're going to be with Christ if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Praise the Lord for that. So we have the appearing of Christ, the disappearing of the saints, and then also the reappearing of Christ. You know, the Lord is going to, he's going to appear, the church will disappear, and then the Lord will reappear, amen, and we are going to be with him And praise the Lord for that. We see over in the book of Jude, if you want to turn over there really quickly here, the book of Jude in verse 14 and 15. The book of Jude, verse 14 and 15. Notice that it says this in Jude, verse 14. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." What do we see there? The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Hopefully you're saved here today. Hopefully you've trusted in Christ as your personal Savior. We talked last week a little bit about the marriage supper. We also talked about the supper of our great God. You're only going to be at one of those. And hopefully you've trusted Christ as your Savior today. And if so, you're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And be there and praise the Lord for that. As we look at this passage here today, I believe that as you study this passage, and we're going to talk about a few of these things, I believe that this passage here is speaking of the rapture, and we all need to know that we need to be ready for our Lord and Savior. That's what we need to be ready for. We need to be ready for Christ. There's a lot of things in this life that we spend our time getting ready for. Some people, they spend a lot of time getting ready for church today. Amen. Brother Gary spent a lot of time doing his hair for church this morning. A lot of time. Miss Kim was probably waiting on him, saying, "We need to go, get on the bus," and all that. Amen. We spend time getting ready for things. Spend time getting ready for work in the morning, and we spend time getting ready for special events and all of that. I can remember a man that I was speaking to who was with the Delaware State Police, and he was invited to go to a thing that was going on for the Delaware State Police. And at the time, of course, the president was President Donald Trump, and he was going to be at this dinner for the Delaware State Police. And this man told me, he said, "I was so nervous getting ready for this dinner," he said, "because I knew who was going to be there." And of course, his wife went out, got a new dress and all of that, and they spent time getting ready for this thing. But when it comes to the appearing of our Lord and Savior, the rapture of the saints, when it comes to that, there's a lot of people who are not spending any time getting ready for that. No, they're going about their life and they're getting ready for all of these worldly things, but yet when it comes to Christ, there's many who are not ready. And there's many who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior, and though they've trusted Christ and they're going to be raptured with the saints, they're not doing anything to invite anyone else to get saved. Lord, help us. You know, we need to be ready for our Lord. This parable here, it's not merely about service. It's, of course, about salvation and ones who will be ready when the Lord returns. You look at verse 6, it says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." You know, in the other parts of the world, in the oriental parts of the world, and among Jews in particular, when the bride is to be chosen, the bride is chosen by the groom's father. The couple, they enter into an espousal, and the bride was promised to the groom, and during that time there was no personal or physical contact between them, and the bridegroom would go to prepare a place for them to live. And once he would go, he would prepare that place, and he would return for his bride, and at that time they would be married, having a place to go and live. Well, that's what our Lord and Savior has done as well. He has gone away to prepare a place for you, that's what he says. And he's coming back, and he's going to take his bride to heaven with him. He's going to take us there where he has prepared a place. The time of preparation, when that was complete and everything was in order, that is when the bridegroom would return for his bride. He was not to return before everything was set in order. And that's how it is with Christ as well. We see Christ doing that exact thing. The virgin spoke of in Matthew chapter 25, they would have been like the bridesmaids, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to return for the bride, and they would have known something about the time that he was coming. Guess what? They knew that the bridegroom would come back. They knew that. But they didn't know exactly when. You know, when Christ is coming back, no man knoweth the day or the hour. It can be today. It can be tomorrow. You know, every day that we are given as believers, we are given that day by the grace of God. You know why Christ didn't come back before you got saved? Because of the grace of God. Each and every one of us are here today simply because of God's grace and God's mercy on our lives. And each and every one of us, we do not need to take that for granted. We need to be going out telling others about the grace of God, telling about what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel, it means the good news, amen, good tidings. You know what this world needs? It needs a little bit of good news. They're not going to get that news from Fox News or CNN or whatever it may be. Huge blow up this week over the sale of Twitter and all this kind of stuff. Can I tell you this? As much free speech platform as they say Twitter is going to be, the good news does not come from Twitter. It doesn't come from Facebook. It doesn't come from any of those things. No, it comes from the Bible. It comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be telling. We spend an awful lot of time telling people about what this candidate did or what this president's doing or what that president did and how they hurt this person and how these people don't need to like this person and all of that. We spend an awful lot of time talking about that. That's not the good news. We as believers need to understand that we are to be telling the good news. We see these bridesmaids here. They were waiting, and they were to wait alertly for him, if you will, but they were slumbering. We can see a picture here of our Lord coming for his bride. Our heavenly bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a bride that's been chosen by the Father, and that is each and every one of us if you've trusted Christ. We have had no physical contact, if you will, with our bridegroom, but we know that he's coming. Praise the Lord for that. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, amen, and praise the Lord that we have the Holy Spirit to help us. We know that our bridegroom is coming. We are espoused to him. He's preparing a mansion for us. Everything is complete, and he's going to come again and take his bride to be with him forever. And so let's notice some things about this parable here this morning, some truths hopefully that will help us as we dissect this parable, if you will. Notice, first of all, the difference between the two groups of virgins, the difference between these two groups. You know, many, when they talk about this parable here, they say, well, it's a complicated parable. But if you look at this parable here, you look at some things as you go through this, it's pretty simple to see in light of the rapture. You see the statement given in this parable that declares a difference between these groups here. And notice it talked about the wise, and it talks about the foolish. The wise and the foolish. We also talk about the fact that some had oil, but others did not. We could look at these groups and divide them in the way of what the Lord says here. Notice at the end of verse 12, he looked at the foolish virgins, if you will, and he said this at the end of verse 12, I know you not. You know, we also read a passage in which he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He says, I never knew you. Never knew you. How sad would it be to stand before our Lord and Savior and hear those words? I never knew you. I know you not. This oil here is a representative of the Holy Spirit. And you know what's true? Each and every one of us as believers, if you've trusted in Christ here today, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And each and every one of us, when our flesh wants to do something that is apart from what the Bible says that we should do, guess what? We hear from that Holy Spirit, don't we? Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't open your mouth. Amen. Each and every one of us have heard that, but each and every one of us, myself included, we've went against the Holy Spirit sometimes when he's told us to keep our mouth shut, amen? And we've regretted it every time. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He guides us. He directs us. We have the Holy Spirit, and praise the Lord for that Holy Spirit's power inside each and every one of us. There's a lot of people who are like the picture given of these virgins. Many people come to church, they carry Bibles, they even sing the songs, but they do not know the Lord. There's many people who are going to ride the church pew all the way to hell. You know what each and every one of those people would say? Well, I've went to church. Isn't that enough? I'm a good person. I have a Bible. I know what the Bible says. I can quote Scripture. Isn't that enough? It's not of works of righteousness that we have done, but by His grace that He saved us. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But there's many people grown up in church, memorize Scripture. They may have even had a place of service in the church, but if they were standing before the Lord right now, the Lord would say this, I never knew you. Lord, help us. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Bible says this, Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Heaven or hell? It's one or the other. And it's only through the grace of Jesus Christ that we can go to heaven. I believe Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, in my opinion, the saddest verse in the Bible. Thinking about that, hope is gone at that point. Gone. Completely gone. There's many people who do not know the Lord as their Savior. They think that their works are going to save them, but they're sadly mistaken, and they're going to be sadly mistaken when they meet Christ. Do you know the Lord? Does the Lord know you? If you have the smallest doubt about either one of those questions there, can I tell you this? Get that settled today. Live in the peace of Christ today. We can be sure about our salvation because God's Word is true. So notice not only the difference between these groups, but notice number two here, the door was shut. You know, I think about the ark, of course, known as Noah's Ark, amen? And you think about the door on that ark. The Bible doesn't say that Noah shut the door. It doesn't say that Noah and all of his sons, as strong as they were, they shut that door and sealed it up tight. It says that God shut the door. God sealed that door. No one could get in. Heard a message one time, very powerful message on the ark, and it was talking about the claw marks that may have been on the outside of that wood. People trying to get on, but it was too late. Think of the things that they were maybe trying to drive into the side of that ark to just give them something to hold on to. But it was too late. They had wasted their time. The door was shut. And here we see that here as well. Notice in verse 10, And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he wouldn't open the door. Because it was too late. There's coming a time and when all the opportunity for salvation is going to be over. The Bible says that while the virgins left, they heard a sound. The cry came, the bridegroom cometh. They tried to prepare for his coming. They had the lamps, but the oil they didn't have any oil. There was no light. The wise virgins had oil. And the Bible says that the foolish were trying to buy the oil, but the door was shut. There was no oil available because it was too late. Verse 10, it says the door was shut. It was over. You know, when people start thinking about what they're going to cut out of their lives, many times, you know what gets cut out? The Lord. But many people say, well, I'm just too busy in life. Many times they'll stop going to church. and they cut out the thing that's the most important to them. I can, in my mind's eye, see these foolish virgins here, and no doubt they were doing things that, humanly speaking, were important. They were probably doing things that they thought they should be doing, but they were not doing the right thing. And when it all came down to it, those fleshly things that they were doing, they had nothing that was worth doing for God. Nothing at all. They hadn't done anything for Him. They hadn't prepared. They were out of oil, and they were not doing what they could do. We need to be very careful with our opportunity. We as believers, if we've trusted in Christ as our Savior, can I tell you this? We do not need to be wasting our time. We need to be using our opportunities for God. You know, our opportunity will not last forever. Look at Ecclesiastes. It talks about the breaking down of the body. It talks about how the strong men will bend. Talking about our legs. Talks about how the grinders will cease. It talks about our teeth. Talks about all kinds of things that talk about how the body breaks down. Can I tell you this? Our body does not get better. Our body gets worse. And our opportunity is not getting longer. Our opportunity is getting shorter. But what are we doing? Yesterday, we had a wonderful opportunity to come in and serve the Lord together as a church and put those scriptures together and praise the Lord. I had a wonderful time yesterday, amen. Praise the Lord. Had a great group come out, and we were able to get some work done for God. You know what it's easy to do? It's easy for us to do a project like that and come together as a church and fellowship one with another, have great fellowship with the people from Beacon of Truth and Matt's family, amen. We had a great time yesterday. But it's easy for us to say, well, we did a scripture project and praise the Lord for that, and then we go on and on and on, and yet we don't do anything else. We feel good about ourselves. We did 11,202, amen, yesterday. And we should feel good about that. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit helped us to get through those things. By God's grace, He's going to use those things in the life of unbelievers. Missionaries will be blessed with those things, being able to give them out. But that's not where our service should stop. We're going to run into some people today. Guess what? They need the gospel. Tomorrow, people need the gospel. The next day, people need the gospel. Every single day, every single moment of our days are opportunities, and we cannot waste those opportunities. We have a great opportunity to tell people about God. When Jesus comes again, our opportunity will be over. He is the door right now. He is open. He's waiting with arms, just ready, with open arms, just calling ones to come to Him. As He's waiting there, each and every one of us, we need to understand the door is open right now, and we need to be telling people about this door. But meanwhile, we tend to sit on the sidelines. The return of Christ is closer than it's ever been. In this parable, we see the Lord is teaching a great truth that what we do, it must be done now. We must do it quickly because the opportunity does not last forever. Let me ask you this here as believers here today. Do we really believe that the Lord is coming back? Think about it. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the door will be shut? And if we believe that, do we live in that truth? Because you know what happens? We talked about this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before. We talked about how we like good deals, amen? We'll call someone, hey, there's a great deal going on at such and such place. You'll never believe what BB's has this week, amen? You know what we understand when we hear about a deal like that? That deal's not going to last forever. So what do? We rush down to get it, amen? We got to fill the back of our car with this good deal. But we say that we believe the Lord's coming back. We believe the door is going to shut, and it could shut this very hour. It could shut before we start 10:30 service. It could start before this evening service. Brother Stroop, as good as that food's going to smell downstairs, we may not make it to that meal downstairs. Lord may come back. The door may shut. That's how close it could be. But do we live that way? Heard a statement one time. It was a very challenging statement, and I try to live by this statement because of the truth of this. It says this: your theology dictates your philosophy. Here's what it means. What you believe dictates how you live. If we believe the door is shutting, then we should be telling as many people as we can that they need to get through that door. And how to get through that door? Only through Christ. Lord, help us. Then notice lastly here, the destiny, if you will, was settled. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, it says this: watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, each and every one of us, we don't know when Christ is coming. But you know what we're to do? We are to watch because we know He's coming. The day and time, all the way down to the millisecond, is already made up in God's mind. He knows when it's going to happen, but we don't know that. Therefore, we should be watching. But that watching is not us as believers just standing at the window, literally watching into the air. That watching means we are to be busy knowing that Christ is coming and watching for that time. Next year, we have two scripture projects set up with Beacon of Truth. We got one in February and, of course, one in October, just like we did this year. Can I tell you this? Those dates are set on our calendars, but those dates are contingent on something, Brother Matt. You know what they're contingent on? The Lord coming back. The Lord comes back. Guess what? We may not make it to that in February. We won't be here to do that scripture project next October. They're contingent on that. But the date and time, down to the second that God has in His mind, it's not contingent on anything. He knows when it's going to be. We can't extend that time. We can't shorten that time. God says, I know when I'm sending my son to take my church and bring them here. He knows that. It's already settled in God's mind. So how do we prepare? How do we watch? Does God expect that we go without sleep and just sit somewhere until we absolutely cannot hold our eyes open any longer? No, of course not. That watching is we as believers need to be busy. Be ready for the Lord's return. We should be telling everyone about Christ. We as believers should be adamant witnesses. The Lord says, watch therefore. Soul-winning church understands that Christ is coming back because a soul-winning church believes that Christ is coming back, and that gives us urgency. It affects the way that we respond to things. It affects the way that we teach and that we preach. It produces a change in believers when we believe that Christ is coming back. Our Lord is coming. But are we watching for His return? Are we looking for and loving His appearing? We need to heed His command. You know, as we were growing up, my parents would, as we got older, of course, my older brother, he's almost 2 years older than me. And so as we became teenagers, we were left at home when my parents would go out, and they would go out grocery shopping or whatever. They always spent less money if they went without us kids. Amen. Dad, we got to have this. Amen. We got to have this new cereal. We got to have this and got to have that. So they'd leave us at home. But they would always say this: such and such needs to be done before we get back. Now, as cruel as my parents were, they never called when they were leaving Sam's Club letting us know we're 30 minutes out. They just showed up. That was never a good thing for us, because we were not watching for them to come. Amen. It's amazing how clean you can get a house from, or how clean you can get the house from the time they get to the end of the driveway to the time they start carrying groceries in. It was amazing. We knew they were coming, but we were not preparing for them to come back. We had things we wanted to do. We had games we wanted to play. Many believers are that way as well. They say they know Christ is coming back, but guess what? There's a lot of games being played. A lot of things being done that are of no eternal good. Let's be watching. The bridegroom's coming. Amen?